The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Morning Drive. I am your host this morning. I'm Brian Burkle. You're listening to The Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 in Lee. It is Tuesday today. Usually I'm here on the helm on Monday, but we did a switcheroo yesterday. So I am here today on Tuesday. It is August 4th. So the summer is flying right along. Some people are looking forward to fall. Some people are a little are asking to pump the brakes a little for the summer. So it depends where you stand on that, how you feel about being August 4th. So today we have a special guest in-house. We're going to be talking about the Berkshire Music School. So I have Tristan Manzolini in here. She is the Director of Events and Communications. So when we come back from our weather check, we're going to get into the conversation and learn more about the Berkshire Music School here in Pittsfield.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear and cooler. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. Light and variable wind. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And there it is. There's our weather. Like it or not, there it is. It actually doesn't sound too bad, other than maybe a little rain later in the week. But today sounds really nice. So get out there and enjoy it if you can. So this morning I have Tristan Manzolini. Tristan, how are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
Tristan is the Assistant Director of Events and Communications for the Berkshire Music School here in Pittsfield. And so, Tristan, give us a quick overview of the Berkshire Music School real quick, and then we'll go from there.
All
build
right.
off of that.
So Berkshire Music School has been, we were founded in 1940, and we've been in the same building on the same campus since. So kind of an institution of the Berkshires. We serve all of Berkshire County, all ages, most instruments, most levels. We offer pretty much everything you can think of. Group classes, we're in the community doing outreach in the schools, all over the place.
Yeah. So you said it's been in, the music school was established back in the 1940s.
Yep.
Not the 1840s.
No. Nope.
Not that old. But in the 1940s. So like you said, a real staple of this community.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how long have you been with the organization?
I'm going on 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. They've been there at the Wendell Ave location for its entire existence.
Pretty much.
Is that
there
right?
was a very brief period, I believe, that there was, we had like a situation where we were on North Street.
Mm-hmm.
But then we actually just had Joe Derwin, the home historian, come out and do sort of the history of the campus, which is very cool.
Yeah.
He kind of gave us, like, you know, the history of it was owned by Alan Bragg, who was mayor. Anyway, we bought it from them, and it's been there ever since.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that page.
Yeah.
And it was actually it was pretty in depth.
Yeah.
About the history of the property and you know what was on the property before the house and you know going back to as there's a marker over on the side where the museum is, there was a note there about Colonel Easton and his tavern.
Yeah.
Where they had planned the attack on Ticonderoga, which is also fitting, you know, to bring that up because, you know, we're celebrating the 250th of the country, right? But I read through that, and it was interesting, as with any of the historical things, when we look at them here in Berkshire County, and particularly in Pittsfield, the names that keep coming up, you recognize them as, oh, okay, so like Williams, Colt, Clapp, right?
Yep.
These are all names. Pomeroy. I'm like, okay, so they got streets.
They came from somewhere.
Yeah, they all got streets and parks and stuff named after them. So when you see this historical stuff, you see the genesis of some of those names. It's funny. You guys took over the school in the 1940s.
Yep.
And you've been in the same location since then. Tell us what's going on these days. I know I saw that, you've been around for a long time, but you've had a real uptick in participation, right? And enrollment, right?
Yep. Our numbers we finally have reached the same numbers from the 50s.
Mm, wow. 1950s.
Wow. Yep. So last fiscal year, we served 450 students.
Mm-hmm.
Around 200 were private. The rest were community group classes. 2,000 people we've reached with outreach programs.
Mm-hmm.
And our teaching hours, I believe it was like 5,400 hours we taught last year, which is pretty incredible.
Sure is.
I mean, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
the uptick is partly because of our tuition assistance.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to provide music lessons that are accessible for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We do our best. Mm-hmm. You know, there's never enough to go around, but it's, you know, we do our best.
Yep.
So we gave out around $40,000 last year in tuition assistance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the community is growing rapidly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had to, we recently just announced that we opened two more satellite locations.
Mm-hmm. What did you already have for a satellite?
So we were in the Adams Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will return to this year. And now we are collaborating with Berkshire Arts Center and the Dalton CRA. So we will have lessons at Mill and Main.
Mm-hmm. In Dalton.
In Dalton, yep. And we will have lessons at the Stockbridge campus of Berkshire Arts Center.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So,
and that is important because, you know, you're being from Berkshire County and anybody here listening who knows Berkshire County, geographically, there's some challenges.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a real thing. North County versus South County. Right.
Yes.
Not versus like we're competing, but it's, you know, if you live in South County, you don't always make it to North County and vice versa. And so same goes for anything that's focused here in Pittsfield. That doesn't mean just because it's central doesn't mean it's easy for everybody to get to.
No. Exactly.
So when we, for whatever your services are, you know, in your case with your school, that when you can offer a satellite and give people more access.
Yeah.
It's really important.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, they'll be a little limited. It's not the full scope of our programming,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, in Dalton, we will actually be able to have some of our community group classes. So one of which is adult ukulele jam,
mm-hmm.
which is one of our most popular group classes. You know, it's mostly retirees. They come, they hang out with our teacher, Julia, and they just play uke and mm-hmm. have a great time. So being able to extend that to Dalton is great. And then we also will be offering our youth rock band out of that location.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we can serve that area a little bit better.
So when you mentioned the youth rock band mm-hmm. and the ukulele, right, these are... I guess when you think of a music school, and maybe this has been sort of what people have thought about the Berkshire Music School as well as others, that it's classical and classical only, right?
Yeah.
But you've really expanded to, not just overnight, I mean, it's been a gradual thing, it's been going on for a while, but you've really opened up to include different genres, right?
Yep.
Could we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it used to be very classical only,
mm-hmm.
And... I don't know when the shift happened because I've only been there for a couple of years, mm-hmm. but we've seen a shift in what the community wants, which I think is what we generally are trying to follow is, you know, the needs of the community. We want to serve the people who live in the community. So to be able to do that, we need to offer mm-hmm. what they want.
Yeah. Right.
And there's been, you know, piano, voice, and guitar are our top three private enrollments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's sort of this shift happening where it's not so much the, you know, the violin or clarinet or, you know, those kinds of things. We have a bunch of 11-year-olds who are playing Stone Temple Pilots, mm-hmm. you know, and it's amazing yeah. that we can offer that to this wider range of folks. And, you know, this is not set in stone yet, but I talked to a man yesterday who wants to bring a bluegrass jam camp in. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's really exciting to see the programming shift in that way.
Right. And like you said, this is someone who came to you and said, could we try this?
Yeah.
So you guys are open to at least exploring certain things and seeing what might work.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that shift too. So I don't know if I even mentioned this to you, but I actually was I was an adult student there.
Oh, no, yeah. You didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started off by bringing my daughter there mm-hmm. for violin, and Bing Lu is yeah. our teacher. And,
yeah.
And my daughter, she ended up shifting over to piano with Amy Rennick. And, but I stayed on with Bing
that.
For a number of years. But to your point, so with the violin, I liked, and she let me do things like Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, or more contemporary things, you
yeah.
know. Instead of just the classical stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
And it was fun because there's a whole genre out there of, like, I remember, I forget what the name of the organization is, but I found them online, and it's a whole string quartet, and they do Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
They do U2, you know, they do covers of that. And that was like, all right, that's cool.
Yeah, that's very fun.
That's fun. So,
I lean toward that direction
yeah.
more personally, mm-hmm. but, you know, it's great that we can offer all of it because
sure.
there's still a very important place for, every type of music is important.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's something that, you know, we really strive to achieve is that if somebody wants to learn how to play something, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that we can offer it. Some of the more elusive instruments, like I was at Tanglewood a couple weekends ago for their community day, and someone asked me if we had a harp teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We don't currently have a harp teacher.
Mm-hmm.
We could probably find one,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a cool thing, too. But yeah, it's mostly leaning away from classical, more toward, you know, other mm-hmm. other genres.
Yeah, and we're seeing too, just we're seeing a more of a melding of the genres.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah.
Right? We were talking before about some of the things going on at Tanglewood,
yep.
Where like particularly last year the Nas concert,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
where he performed with the BSO or the Pops, I forget which. Which part of that was, but that's different, you know, and it's introducing these different genres together. So,
yeah.
You know, there's
yeah,
definitely a lot of appetite
fun.
For that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, we talk a lot about how we can bring together sort of those things within the school.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's tricky is, so we have, right around 25 teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And they all sort of have different schedules. So it's hard to bring them together to make something like that happen. But it's something that I really dream about mm-hmm. is having sort of this that whole, like, bring together the classical and, you know, rock and mm-hmm. all of these things and sort of make this, like, Trans-Siberian orchestra situation mm. happen. I would yeah. love to do that for yeah. a winter concert someday.
Right. There's another great example of combining the different
yeah.
Music genres. So when you mentioned that about the different schedules, right,
yep.
for the different instructors, how does that, how can people find out, you know, what kind of, if somebody's interested in joining,
mm-hmm.
right, what's the best way for them to find out if their instrument is something that is taught and how they would go about finding a teacher?
Yeah, so most of our, pretty much everything is right on the website. We try to keep it updated. And so generally speaking, all of our teachers, their instruments, everything is listed on our website.
Mm-hmm.
they can always send us an email through our contact form to inquire if they have a general question. But if they're looking for a specific instrument, typically we just have them fill out the registration form and then place them with a teacher that has availability.
Mm-hmm.
All of the teachers are capable of, you know, each teacher has sort of their own niche, I would say. But for beginners, it's great because we can kind of put them where we have the availability. And with the explosion of students we had last year, that availability is getting smaller and smaller, which is a good problem to have.
Right.
But yeah, so we generally take, you know, have them fill out the registration form. That gives us all the information that we need, and we can kind of see where they fall in with the availability of whatever teacher teaches the instrument they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. So, and that website would be BerkshireMusicSchool.org, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
and you guys are located at 30 Wendell Ave.
Yep.
Phone number is 442-1411. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have that one memorized.
Yeah, I was gonna, you know, it's funny when I was saying that, I'm like, I wouldn't blame you if you didn't know, because
yep.
You know, we don't always, we just hit the dial on our phone, we forget what the numbers actually are, right?
Yeah.
So if you're just joining us, in studio today is Tristan Manzolini. She is the assistant director for events and communications for the Berkshire Music School. So with the music school itself, I see that there are options for both individual classes.
Mm-hmm.
And group classes.
Yes. So our individual classes are private lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It's one-on-one with the teacher. It's those are the classes that we do offer tuition assistance on as it's available. We have three different levels, you know, a 30-minute, a 45-minute, and a 60-minute. Those lessons are generally one-on-one with those 25-ish faculty members.
Mm-hmm.
In pretty much every instrument that you can think of.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, give or take a few. And the community group classes and special programming run a little differently. So the group classes are, they allow us to offer an accessible option for folks that want to kind of test out a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
All of our community group classes are pay what you wish. So
that's for the community ones are pay what you wish.
Pay what you wish. Yep. So folks will come in and they want to try, you know, they want their kids to try piano, but mm-hmm. they don't necessarily want to commit because, you know, kids can be a little finicky with, with their interests.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll try it. Sometimes that leads to a private lesson if they're really interested in it. Sometimes it doesn't, but it still gives them an option to have music education for, you know, whatever they can afford. Those are my favorite programs because it's just super accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do offer some special programming. From time to time, those classes change, and those ones are not pay what you wish, but they are just a different type of group environment, which can be a really fun way to learn and, you know, develop certain skills.
Sure. So the other thing, too, is that it's open to all ages.
All ages.
Right.
Yep.
Where are you seeing a growth in any one particular age group or?
You know what? That's a great question. I wish that I had an answer for that. I would say that more, you know, we're getting out into the community more, so mm-hmm. more people are aware that we exist, mm-hmm. even though we've been in the same spot since, you know, 1940. Yeah. Some people still don't know that we're an organization,
mm-hmm.
Or they don't know what we are, or, you know, mm-hmm. any number of things.
And that's not unique to you. I mean,
No.
That's just the way. That's just the way it is. Everybody gets in their cycle. They get in their routine.
Yep.
And they just take these. You know, they probably. We've all done this. We've driven by a place every day.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, somebody mentions it, and then you're like, "Oh, wait a minute! I drive by there every day." You know.
Yeah.
And
no,
we just get into those little ruts. So it's important.
Yeah.
What you're doing is important to get out there and to reintroduce yourself to people,
You
know, so that they are reminded that you're there.
Yeah. And, you know, with so many cuts to the arts for funding and, you know, the importance seems to be diminishing for certain ways.
And that exposure isn't there as much.
So it's, you know, I think the uptick in students comes from the loss of the arts in schools. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of folks still understand, like, this is an important thing. Music is an incredibly important thing all around. Mm-hmm. I don't know that people realize how important it really is. Like, if you really start to think about music in all of the ways it influences our lives, mm-hmm. it's pretty profound.
Yeah, because I know, you know, you hear more and more about the what the exposure to music and can do for you physically and mentally. And you know, if, particularly if you're older, it keeps, you know, they say it's better for your memory, right? For your fine motor skills. Also, I mean, for developing minds, so youth, right? There's just so many benefits there that have been identified as far as, you know, those same things, memory, fine motor skills, but focus and, you know, just like, you know, they say like younger kids can take in more language skills than when you get older. So, this is another language, learning music, right?
100%.
So, so there's just mountains of benefits to being able to participate in something like this.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I dream of, I'm also in school full time for child psychology. And one of the things I've been dreaming of is creating programming around really creating or building this like mental health component. Because it is, even if you're just taking lessons, you know, it's like this thing that you're doing that's, it's therapeutic, truly. So it's, you know, it's a beautiful thing. Music is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And, you know, the big thing, especially when you mention mental health is, you know, isolation, right, can be one of the biggest risks. Right. So being, you're participating in something like this, whether you're coming to the classes. So right there, you're already engaging with people. And then as you progress, you can get into a group. Right. Maybe you're performing. All these things. But also just the therapeutic sense of being able to play music by yourself, you know, at home or wherever can also be therapeutic.
It is. Yeah.
So
it really
it's just like, again, just mountains and mountains of reasons.
Health wise,
the benefits are just, so many.
So it's, you know, it's a great thing. For sure.
Now, let's talk a little bit about some of that outreach that you talked about. What kind of programs do you have when you say that you have outreach?
So to be completely honest, the outreach programs are often changing. And I don't have a current list of what those offerings are. We do a lot of school assemblies. I know, like, we'll go into nursing homes and just perform for the residents, which is really great. The school programs are focused more educationally. You know, the our outreach coordinator, that was a tough one, Sherry James Buxton, she really makes it just this amazing, amazing situation where, like, she, we don't have to worry about it on the other side. She takes care of everything. So she does, she works so hard to make sure that music is getting into the schools in ways that are just so important.
And so, like you said, you're always evolving with the programming that that you've been doing. But you have been into the schools. And into nursing homes and elderly housing and stuff like that. So that those, and then you also do some outreach in the public. You try to make it to, you know, like your first Fridays and all those usual.
We do the best we can. I'm generally the one that's the face behind the table. So, you know, on top of just life stuff, I can't make it to all of them, but I try. Those events are really, really great because it, you know, I love connecting with the community. That's actually my, you know, I'm the assistant director of events and communication, but my favorite thing is to sit at the front desk and just talk to all of our families. So it's sort of an extension of that when I'm
It's communication.
So that part's a lot of fun for me. The outreach is great. We reach 2,000 people through outreach alone. The community events that we go to, I'll bring like our instrument petting zoo, we call it. So kids can try just, you know, a handful of instruments. It's a lot of fun. It's very loud. I always feel bad for the tables that are next to me.
What kind of instruments do you tend to bring?
Well, usually, like, you know, just some hand drums or, mm-hmm. you know, a xylophone. I always bring a ukulele, a violin. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty small kid-sized guitar that I've been bringing. And they tend to just really go for the ukulele, all of them. Yeah. Like, they fight over the ukulele and the violin. It's really kind of funny. And generally, I'll bring an activity if I have the space. It depends on the event. But, you know, a lot of times I'll do a make a maraca activity with, like, little Easter eggs mm-hmm. and lentils. And the kids really like that, too. So yeah. It's kind of a fun tie-in.
Yeah. And again, another opportunity to introduce somebody, yeah. particularly youth, to those instruments and, yeah. and the idea of playing music.
Yeah.
So every opportunity to do that is great.
Yeah.
So do you have any, I know that you had a gala this year.
Yes.
Yeah. When was that?
That was May 2nd.
Okay. So not too long ago.
Nope. Yep. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. We did sort of a weird, not weird, different approach where we did a two-part gala. Mm-hmm. So the first part was sort of that, you know, get dressed up and come and have like a nice dinner. Our piano teacher, Carlton Maya, played a piece called Rhapsody in Blue mm-hmm. with scholarship student Artois Sancho. Mm-hmm. Amazing. I mean, standing ovation, people were crying. It was like, it was so beautiful. And we raised $30,000, which was pretty, pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Considering we had less than 100 people there, I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, for sure.
The second part of the gala, Whiskey City actually played for us, mm-hmm. and we made that general admission. So people could still come out, support the music school.
Mm-hmm. This is all in one night?
All in one night,
yep. Yeah, nice little transition there.
Yes.
That's a neat idea.
Yeah, so we did it at the Stationery Factory. Mm-hmm. Abe and Lisa are so great to work with. And it was just kind of a way for people to come out and support in an affordable way, because galas are traditionally very expensive.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We tried to price it. The ticket prices really only covered our costs mm-hmm. to, you know, to get in the door.
Right.
It was a good time. It was a really good time.
And a big part of that, too, is you know, also not just, I mean, a big part, of course, is raising the money.
Yeah.
But also just that exposure again.
Yeah.
You know, and letting people understand or learn more about you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That, having that opportunity.
Yeah.
So I like that second half where you're just more of a general admission for the second half of the
yeah.
show.
And, yeah. And, well, we wanted to highlight, too, like we called it Strings and Steel was mm-hmm. the name of the gala.
Okay.
So the first half really was like that classical piece. And then the second half, I mean, Whiskey City is a pretty well-known band in the area mm-hmm. With their country rock sort of vibe. So it kind of brought together a little bit more of like what we're trying to do with the different genres, too.
And I'm sure another thing that might be coming up if somebody's thinking about this is how do I, if I sign up for classes, mm-hmm. How do I get an instrument? Right. Do you have rentals there?
So
is that how that works?
We actually just switched away from having our own rentals. Mm-hmm. We used to have, I mean, we still have them, but it's hard to maintain them properly. Mm. Just time, money, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we found actually a company called Sweetwater. And so we do all of our rentals through them. Mm-hmm. It's less money than what we were doing for rentals. Mm-hmm. So it's more accessible and people get instruments that are basically brand new. Their program is great, so we've kind of switched to using them. So if people really enjoy their instrument, all of their rental fees go toward purchasing it also.
Okay.
So they have a great program. They're awesome to work with. So we really have switched away from keeping a stock of rentals to outsourcing that.
I'm sure also just the having that inventory.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about keeping an inventory.
Yeah.
Right?
we have a lot of instruments in our basement.
I could imagine.
Yeah.
All right. So we are coming up on the top of the hour. So we are going to take a pause here for our station identity. And we're going to thank some of our underwriters. When we return, we'll continue talking with Tristan Manzolini, who is the Assistant Director of Events and Communications at the Berkshire Music School here in Pittsfield. Lots going on at the Berkshire Music School. We'll get into what's coming up with the new season, right? Because mm-hmm. as school season starts up, I'm sure you're going to have an influx of students, right, who are going to be joining mm-hmm. you again. So we'll talk a little bit about that process if anybody wants to join the Berkshire Music School this year. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. You are listening to WTBR 89.7 and WSBR 88.1 in Lee.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
PCTV Select is a great way to watch local content without having a cable subscription. You can keep up with the latest of what's going on in your community from anywhere in the world. And it's available for free right now. Watch live events in full HD on your TV, on your computer, or on the go with your mobile device. Or watch our large library of on-demand video programs anytime that's convenient for you. No more waiting until it's on TV. Did we mention it's free? PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock. On Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, and welcome back to the Morning Drive on WTBR 89.7 FM and WSBR 88.1 FM in Lee and our other South County neighbors. We are talking today about the Berkshire Music School. We have Tristan Manzolini in here today. She is the Assistant Director of Events and Communications. So we've got lots to talk about with the Berkshire Music School, especially with, the regular school season coming into focus here. There may be some families out there who may be interested in enrolling their youth in some of the programs. So we'll talk a little bit about that process and what that might look like. First, we're going to get into the weather and see what we can expect over the next couple of days.
Berkshire weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly clear and cooler. Near steady temperature in the upper 50s. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday, sunny. Highs in the lower 80s. West wind around 5 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy. Lows in the upper 50s. Light and variable wind. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
And there it is. Okay, so we are talking with Tristan Manzolini. She is the Director of Events and Communications at the Berkshire Music School. Hi, Tristan.
Hi.
Thanks for sticking around. Thanks for coming back after the break.
So,
as I said before, before the weather, you know, it is that time of year. I mean, it's halfway through summer, maybe a little more. more than halfway, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But so we're already thinking, I mean, there's already the ads on TV for going back to school and all, yep. all getting all the gear, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously people's mindset is, you know, what can I do? Where can my kids get enrolled in different things come school season?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have a lot of returning students. But if you're somebody who's new to the Berkshire Music School and they're considering having their kids enroll, what would that look like?
Yeah, so we actually are, we just opened our registrations for new students. So essentially, you go to the website, fill out the registration form that's under our lessons and classes, private lesson tab on our website.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us all the information that we need, the availability, the student, the student's preferred instrument, if there's a teacher that they want specifically. And then we're able to take that information and go look at our schedule, see who can take what, who can take who, and kind of build the schedule from there. Mm-hmm. It's a fun game of Tetris that we play in the fall.
And as far as instruments, I mean, you have a wide variety.
Yes.
What are some of the more popular ones again?
So piano, piano, voice, and guitar are the top three.
Mm-hmm.
We teach pretty much anything, drums, violin, flute, cello, you name it. It's pretty expansive.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now from the website.
Yeah.
And you do. You have a breakdown, basically, of how many. 96 piano.
96 piano, yeah.
Next is pretty far behind, but still a good number, 58 for voice.
For voice,
and
which
guitar,
is...
guitar, like you said, and drum.
Yep.
You've got oboe.
Oboe,
you got
yes.
You got at least one trombone.
Yep.
So you got all kinds. Ukulele, like you said, there's a bunch of those. Clarinets.
There's a bunch of those,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
The ukulele is a great starter instrument, so we have, a lot of... littles that play that,
like the recorder, right?
Yes.
I see recording.
Yeah.
Is that's the
we do?
Yeah, that's like the starter instrument we all had in elementary school.
Exactly. Yeah, and you know we do have a small recording studio, which we have a group class that our operations manager teaches too. So you can bring all those together and record your own album.
Uh-huh. Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And that's right there on campus.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And when I say campus, it's because you have more than one building.
Yes, we have two buildings.
Yeah, you got the house in the front.
Yep.
You know, we talked a little bit about the history of that. It's a cool place because, like, there's still elements of days gone by in there.
Yes.
Like the paging box
there,
where there's like all
the call buttons.
Yeah.
You know, it's very charming.
Yeah. And the one restroom there with the old bathtub and it's kind of cool.
We love our old building.
Yeah.
We've been working on, I mean, truly we need, you know, $1 billion to mm-hmm. bring it up to snuff, if you will.
Yeah, that's everywhere.
Yeah. But we're doing the best we can. I've been painting, kind of giving her some love, and you know, our resident ghost doesn't seem too mad about it. So
you've got one too.
I think everybody does.
Everybody does, especially on Wendell Ave.
Yeah,
so like all those old buildings. Everybody's got a ghost.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got those two buildings, and now we have three additional satellite locations.
Mm-hmm.
Adams Theater is one. We're now partnering with the Berkshire Art Center. Mm-hmm. So we're actually with them, we're doing a studio swap. So we will be using their campus on Monday nights, and they use our campus on Thursday evenings for classes.
Oh, that's a nice arrangement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it works out really well. And then we'll be doing lessons at Mill in Maine. That's part of the Dalton CRA.
Yeah, so that's in Dalton, Mill in Maine.
Yep.
But then also on your property on Wendell Ave, you've got the barn in the back.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Which is also a cool space.
Yeah.
Because that's where you have that performance stage, and you can seat quite a few people in there. Actually.
Yeah. I mean, I think 45 is really the the limit.
Yeah.
We shouldn't push it too much, but you know,
yeah,
it's small, but it's still pretty
good size crowd.
Yep.
You know,
we do mostly that's where our recitals take place. Sometimes we'll use it for other performances. In October, we're hosting the band Riverside,
mm-hmm.
and they're coming out to do, often they do, on their tour, they'll do house concerts. Mm-hmm. So Berkshire Music School is going to host them as one of their house concerts on their tour. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
When we talk about that performance room there, and mm-hmm. so just kind of circling back to what I told you before about how I was a adult learner for a while there, right? Mm-hmm. And there are the recitals.
Yeah.
So I went through that. And when we talk about 45 people, 45 seats, even if it was half full, it might as well have been a stadium.
Oh, yeah. It's still nerve-wracking.
Yeah, yeah. You get up there and you're like, oh, good gosh.
Yeah.
Especially after, as an adult. And again, I'm encouraging adults to do this.
Yes.
You know, but it is kind of funny to go up after some of the kids who just bang it out, and they're just like, they're rocking it, right?
Yep.
And then you get up there and you're like,
yeah. You know? it takes a lot of courage,
yeah,
you know?
It was fun. In the end, it was fun.
Yeah. And that, you know, that's a thing that we really can offer the kids is mm-hmm. performance opportunities. Yeah. And I tell you what, you see me on the sidelines taking videos and I'm crying mm-hmm. the entire time because mm-hmm. I'm just so proud of all of them. And I am, you know, full disclosure, I'm the only non-musician on that campus.
Okay.
So which is funny.
Yeah.
You know, people don't expect somebody to not have a musical background and work at a music school, but I appreciate it, uh-huh. you know, and I love to see the kids progress over, you know, even just the couple of years that I've been there. You see them grow and you see them get better and better and better. And their dedication is just like, it's so inspiring to mm-hmm. see these kids come in and just really give it their all.
So as far as all that inspiration, have you been inspired to pick up any of those instruments?
I am always inspired.
Yeah?
Yes.
Is there anything that you're interested in?
So, well, for a little background, my grandfather was in a country band, mm-hmm. a local country band. So when I was growing up, I was always, you know, my mom would bring me to his shows, and he was in, it was Norm Soul's and the Country Travelers was the mm-hmm. band he was in. He mm-hmm. played the bass. Mm-hmm. They had a pedal steel player, and that is to this day my favorite instrument.
Mm-hmm.
I will learn how to play it someday.
Good.
Right now, I'm pretending to teach myself how to play the banjo.
Okay.
It's not going well,
yeah,
but...
Well.
I don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I know. You are busy.
Yeah.
I know that. You
know,
we've talked a little bit about, well, you know, you've got a lot going on,
yeah.
which is great.
Yeah, yeah. It is great.
So some of the, you've also had, you know, some of your fundraisers you've had over at the Colonial
mm-hmm.
over the years, right? Or different performances.
I believe so. Yeah. I don't know too much about the things that we've done in
yeah.
the past.
Right, right.
I know that they're... The fundraising was less than what we're trying to do now. It's a little bit more difficult these days to make ends meet.
Yeah.
You know, for instance, our lessons, we lose $18 a lesson. So tuition only covers about 30% of our expenses.
Mm.
So we really rely on donations and grants, all of those things to really keep our doors open.
Right. And we talked before about the fundraiser that you had,
yep.
a very successful one a couple
yep.
Months ago. And another important part that I know we wanted to talk about was the scholarship option
yes.
for students, right?
Yep.
Because, and that's for all ages, if I
yep.
understand that correctly, right?
All ages.
So you don't want the cost of tuition, which is the cost of doing business, right?
Yep.
Not even, really.
No, not even for us.
But
yeah.
you don't want that to be an impediment for someone to
no.
have this opportunity to explore learning more about music. So
yeah.
can you talk a little bit about
yeah.
how the scholarship process works? And
so at the end of June every year, we hold an audition for our talent and merit scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we had really the most competitive audition that they've ever seen. I'm not part of the judges for
mm-hmm.
that, but I know most of the kids who auditioned, and they're the ones that show up to every lesson, and they're practicing mm. and they're working so hard.
Mm.
It's great.
Yeah.
So that the talent and merit scholarships, we have, I don't even know how many at this point. And we also just opened another one that has a separate audition, I believe, in September. I want to say September 12th. And that's for cello students only. Mm-hmm. It's the Annabelle Hoffman audition. And that was funded by one of Annabelle's students, an anonymous donation. So there's so many funds available for cello students for this scholarship, which is great. Additionally, we have need-based financial aid.
Mm-hmm.
So even if, you know, you don't maybe have the talent yet for a scholarship, you still, and this is for all ages also, need-based aid, which takes into account family size, income, additional expenses, all of those things. So we try really hard to give everyone what, you know, music at a cost that is not prohibitive.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we gave out just around $40,000 between the scholarships and the financial aid.
Wow, that's a significant amount.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's important to have that access.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
So you don't want finances to be a barrier.
No.
From somebody being able to join you guys.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And and you also pointed out too that the recipients, they don't take it lightly either.
No, right? Absolutely not.
They're the ones showing up.
Yeah.
They are really putting the extra effort in because they really are apparently, you know, they're showing that they're grateful.
Yes.
To have this opportunity.
Yeah, they really are. They work so hard. A lot of them you see, you know, they'll do programs in the community. They'll play it, you know, pretty much anywhere they can.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really getting out there. They're getting exposure and they're working so hard.
Yeah. And as far as alumni, you know, a lot of people, maybe not too many people know this, but a local astronaut, Stephanie Wilson.
Yeah.
She was a violin student.
Yes, I believe that is correct. Yeah.
So I think there may be some other standouts that have who have come from the music school at some point. So
We did in April of last year, we did a fundraising performance with Matt Cusson, is a Grammy nominated,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
amazing musician, songwriter, just lovely human. He also went to the music school.
Right. Another notable alum.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So who knows what the future holds, right? For the classes of today.
Yeah.
I know my career has peaked.
My violin career peaked in about fourth grade.
Yeah.
So.
This is such a great asset to have in this community to have this. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier too that, what's important to understand for people who are interested or curious about the school is that it's not just classical music anymore,
yep.
that you've really expanded to different genres.
Yeah.
Can we revisit that a little bit?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it used to be very classically minded.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually an article, I think, in 2004 about how there was no rock, no rap, no pop at Berkshire Music School. And we're doing more of all of those things than probably could ever have been imagined.
Mm-hmm.
We have youth rock bands. We have 11-year-old. We have a group of 11 and 12-year-olds that are really putting together this band, and they're learning how to play Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing expansion, and that comes from what the community is asking for.
Right.
You can't grow an organization if you're not providing what is actually needed or wanted. I talked to somebody yesterday, and this isn't, you know, solidified yet, but it sounds like we'll be bringing in a bluegrass jam group.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's the options are just always changing, and it really is to follow what the community wants.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the experiences at the music school, there are other opportunities for kids once they start to pick up these instruments, they start to get good at them, they can, you know, find other places to perform.
Yeah.
And, you know, one place where we've crossed paths is at the Calliope Cafe.
Yeah.
At the
Stationery
Factory,
yep.
which you mentioned earlier. How involved Is there much involvement with the music school and the Calliope Cafe, or is that sort of its own thing?
It's its own thing. Yeah. I believe Mark Franklin runs the Calliope Cafe.
Actually, Mark's been in here as a guest.
Yeah. He is so great. Yeah. He does outreach for us, too. Mm-hmm. So he's involved in with the music school, but the Calliope Cafe is all him, as far as I understand. And what a great program. I know that we've had many students perform there. Many students. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even tell you. Mm-hmm. Couldn't even tell you. But yeah, it prepares them to be able to do those things.
Right.
And get out and, you know, have those experiences.
Yeah. And just for anybody, for context, if you don't know what the Calliope Cafe is, it's at the Stationery Factory during the school season. I don't think they performed. Do they do it during the summer?
Or I'm not take a break? Sure. I think that they did. I feel like they did it this summer.
Don't go by me as far as the schedule. Check it out on your own. But it's a free event to the public.
Yep.
And it's mostly youth who are performing on the smaller stage. And there's actually quite a few people in attendance at these things.
Yeah.
And they're really the youth that are performing with the bands, and they have their own bands and soloists. They're really talented.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's a great opportunity for them to be in front of people.
Yep.
And perform, you know. So it's a great event. Again, helps with, you know, getting people together, you know, breaking down on that isolation and all that type of thing. And it's a sense of community up there. It's a really great program.
Yeah. And to that note, I do want to just say it's not a requirement to perform. So people allowed to do something just because they enjoy it.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So even our younger students, when we have the recitals, it's never a requirement. Mm-hmm. We encourage it, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's some kids that just aren't ready to do that. Some adults that have no interest in performing, mm-hmm. and they just are learning an instrument because they've always wanted to and finally have the time.
Thank you for clarifying that. I don't want that to be, I don't want that hanging out there and anybody be like, well, I want to learn the flute, but there's no way I'm going to, you know, I don't want anybody to not do it because they think that's a requirement.
So
thank you for clarifying that.
The younger me just came out in that, because I remember one of the things that was so terrifying for me in school when we all sign up for an instrument, and I hated being on stage. Mm-hmm. It made me so anxious.
Yeah.
And it was, you were kind of forced to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. I think that everyone should really have a choice in that. And I, you know, again, it's a great experience. We always encourage people to perform, but it's really low stakes.
Yeah, for sure. And we talked about all those benefits, the health benefits of playing an instrument and learning music. And you know, if performing is simply just anxiety for you, then that takes away a lot of those benefits. Right.
Yeah.
So, and there's plenty of benefits to be had just by learning it on your own, playing by yourself, and, you know, having a private lesson and just taking it up at home.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic to be able to do that too.
Yeah.
So thanks for clarifying
that.
Yeah. but you do have quite a few, you have tons of instruments. Again, if people are looking to, they don't, you know, people are coming here, they're just learning, so they very likely do not have an instrument of their own.
Yep.
So as we were talking before, that's not an obstacle either.
No. Nope.
You have a rental program through another agency, right?
Yep, Sweetwater, which is, I mean, it's sort of like a Guitar Center situation. Mm-hmm. It, you know, they have physical locations, you can order instruments for purchase. Their rental program is amazing. Mm-hmm. If something breaks, you just call them. They send a new one out even before you send the old one back.
Mm-hmm.
Just really like quick turnover. And it's a better service than what we were able to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And the instruments are just going to be better quality. A lot of our rentals that we had, that we were giving out previously, they were donations. A lot of it were, you know, needed repair. They were fine. They were just, you know, they needed some love. All of that takes time. It takes money.
Sure. Storage.
And storage. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So shifting to just, we want the students to have higher quality instruments.
Yeah. So again, that's not a roadblock for you. If you don't have access to an instrument right now,
yep.
you can get it through the school.
Yep.
When we talk about you said the number two enrollment is for vocal.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little about the vocal program?
Yeah. So we just hired our fifth vocal teacher. Two of our vocal teachers come all the way from New York City. So they're with us 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. And their background, one of them is in opera. The other one, honestly, I can't keep them all track. I think all of them have some opera experience. There's musical theater experience. They are just all incredible, incredible teachers. Their students adore them. And the voice piece has exploded. Mm-hmm. People just want to sing.
Yeah. Do you think it has anything to do with like the increase in karaoke?
I don't know. I don't know.
I see more and more karaoke events, you know, yeah, at places. So I wonder if that has any sort of like people are just trying to get a little bit better so that they can do a good show there at the tavern or something. You know,
I know a lot of our students are theater kids.
Oh, okay.
So
sure.
A lot of them are like they want to increase their ability to sing when they're on stage. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are theater kids, mm-hmm, and it's great because they're learning all of the things that they need so that they can project and do all of those things so everybody can, you know, so they're strong, their voices are strong. A lot of students really just, they want to be able to, you know, maybe do an open mic and feel, mm-hmm, like they can put their voice with their guitar. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
You know, always wanted to be able to sing. So... those are the ones that I understand the most, honestly.
Yeah. So one of the biggest benefits I think of having the music school here in Berkshire County is because, I mean, in Berkshire County, we are really surrounded by so many arts opportunities, right?
Yeah.
And for many, those things seem just sort of out of reach and just not my, I don't, you know, it's not my thing. Mm-hmm. So when you have an opportunity like this with the music school and you have the programming that you have, it really opens up those that option for folks, for younger people particularly,
yeah,
to know that maybe someday I could be at Tanglewood, or
yeah,
you know, maybe someday I could be performing here or there. So it's just great to have that sort of stepping stone available for people right here in the community.
For sure, yeah. And we're constantly trying to collaborate, mm-hmm, you know, trying to bring some things together so that those programs can be more accessible, or, you know, seem less terrifying. Mm-hmm. We have, for the first time, a musical theater week-long program coming up, mm-hmm, in a couple weeks here. And that's the first time we've done theater at the music school.
Oh, cool.
You know,
yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, you know, combining. Because they're all, I mean, you kind of need all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a fun thing to bring it all together.
It's a great resource. So we've got about 1 minute left.
Okay.
What would you like to tell our listening public about the music school? What's your big message?
Yeah, I think something that surprises people is that we do lessons for all ages. Mm. And, you know, I encourage people who have thought, you know, I would love to learn an instrument to just do it. Mm-hmm. The commitment is, you know, put it in your calendar like it's a therapy appointment and come pick up a guitar. All ages, most instruments. Mm-hmm. It's really, we have a great community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Tristan.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here today. So we've been listening to Tristan Manzolini. She's the Assistant Director of Events and Communications for the Berkshire Music School. They're located at 30 Wendell Ave here in Pittsfield. Their phone number is 442-1411, and you can check out all the stuff we talked about today or anything that we didn't answer for you. You can find that information at berkshiremusicschool.org. And again, thank you everybody for listening to us today. We appreciate every day when you guys are listening to us here at the Morning Drive on WTBR and WSBR. And we just ask that please keep in mind the men and women who are serving the armed services overseas, and please enjoy the remainder of this week. Thanks so much for joining us. Keep on.